Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. When I was a sophomore in high school, I took driver's education. And towards the end of the course, we were given a test on the driving laws of the state of Colorado. And they had given us the booklet of laws, and I intended to study that carefully because I felt really good about having paid attention to that class. I felt good about the importance of following the rules, and I wanted to try to get a perfect score on that driver's test. So I really studied hard. And I took the test, and I felt really good. I felt like I'd gotten them all right. And then they scored the test and gave it back to me, and nope, not 100%. And so I wanted to know what they thought I had done wrong. I wasn't too sure that they were quite correct about their scoring. So I went back and checked, and I still remember, even though I was only 16 at the time, I still remember one of the particular questions. The question went something like this. The posted speed limit is 35 miles an hour. What is the safe speed for you to drive on that road? And then it gave four different answers. And the instruction on the test was, this is a multiple choice test, choose the best answer. So I came to this question, the speed limit's 35 miles an hour, what is the safe driving speed or the best driving speed for this road? And A was 35 miles an hour. And I went, well, that's obviously the answer. I looked at B kind of rather quickly. It said 3 to 4 miles above the posted speed limit. I knew that was wrong. You're not supposed to do that. C said whatever speed you like. And D said whatever speed is safe given the driving conditions, not to exceed 35. But I'd already in my mind picked A, and I hardly even noticed C and D after realizing that B was, you know, they're trying to trick us into something. And so I put down A, and of course I got it wrong because I'd not been paying attention to the instructions. The instruction didn't say pick a right answer. It said pick the best answer. And of course, the best answer was D. Whatever speed is safe given the driving conditions, not to exceed 35 miles an hour. Because the purpose of the driving law that they wanted me and my fellow drivers to understand is that the rules are there for our safety and for the safety of others. They're not interested in just a blind adherence to the rule. Just to kind of says it says 35, so that's what I'm going to drive no matter what. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that we have been looking at now for several months, begins by giving us in Matthew chapter 5 a series of 8 Beatitudes. And as we talked about, as we went through those Beatitudes, we said that these are ways in which Jesus is talking about how we can grow to become more like Him. And by becoming more like Him, we are growing the light that God has given us, that light that imitates the light of God Himself. We are becoming more like God in becoming more like His Son. And then last Sunday in verses 14 through 16 of chapter 5, we said, now Jesus says that your inner light has been growing and developing and maturing. You need to let your light shine in the world. That's the purpose for growing that inner light, is so that your light can shine in good deeds, as we talked last week, deeds of faith and deeds of love. Let your light shine. Well, that brings us to kind of the next thing that Jesus is going to emphasize in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And I'll be reading those for us. You can join me there if you'd like, either in your pew Bible or I know it's up here on the screens. So this is what Jesus says next. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. See, some of you think that I am saying that you no longer need to keep God's laws, that you can start disregarding the rules. That is not what I am saying. What I am teaching you is the purpose of those rules. If anyone thinks that they can disregard the rules of God, and even go so far as to teach others to do the same, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Don't even think about doing so. Obey the laws of God from a right understanding of His purpose for those laws. Take a look at the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, he says. They're righteous people. They're self-proclaimed members of the 35-mile-an-hour club. If God says the rule is 35 miles an hour, by God, they're going to drive 35 miles an hour. Because that's what God says. And we're the rule followers. We're not going to go a mile faster. We're not going to go a mile slower. 35, that's what He says. And when we have arrived to wherever we're going, having perfectly adhered to the 35-mile-an-hour rule, we'll make sure everybody is aware of what good drivers we are, how obedient we've been. And we will probably tell you about the other drivers who are not quite as good as we were. We may even talk to you about the person who went speeding down the road straight on their way to hell because they refuse to follow the rule. Jesus says they are righteous. It's good that they're following the rule. It's good that they're driving 35. There is the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But the problem is that they're following the rule for their own sake. They have come to believe that an outward obedience to the rule reflects an inner relationship with God. Jesus says that's where they're getting it wrong. And they show that in their outward attitude to their rule following. They believe that because they're good rule followers, they have the right to judge other people who aren't as good as they are. They think because they're good rule followers that they have the right to lord it over other people and tell other people how they should follow the rules also. And probably worst of all, as they're working so hard to follow the 35-mile-an-hour rule as they're driving down the road, they're ignoring everybody else. Because, see, you have fellow travelers on the road, and some are going to go faster than you, and some are going to go slower than the 35 miles an hour. And there are going to be other people around on the roads, the bicyclist, the pedestrian. What are you going to do about them
in following the 35-mile-an-hour rule. Jesus is saying that in that kind of rule-following righteousness, ignoring everybody else on the roadway with you is an abusive use of God's rule. He did not give it for that purpose. So you, and of course by extension I, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, your righteousness, my righteousness, needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We need to understand the purposes of the laws of God. Not set them aside, not ignore them, certainly not choose that we can rewrite them, but understand the purpose for which they are given. God says to us, when I look at this roadway, I believe a good speed on that road is 35. That's my rule. But the purpose that I give you the rule is so that by going 35, by adhering to the rule, you are going to be able to drive safely. And in paying attention to all the people around you, they too may enjoy a safe drive. Because I love you, I want only what is good for you, but I love everyone else on the road just as much as I love you, and I want them to be as safe as I want for you. And so it is that there's going to be times as you are driving on the road and you see my rule that says 35, don't just blindly follow the rule for its own sake, thinking that that is what I want, the rule giver. That at the end of the journey, I will be there and say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you drove exactly 35 the whole way. That is not what I will be looking for, and that is not what I'll be saying. Rather, I will ask you, do you know what the speed limit was? And you'll say 35, and I'll say, good answer. But what did you do with that 35? What I want to hear from you, says God, at the end of the journey, is that I followed your 35 rule, but I did it in a way that paid attention to the people around me. That when people went speeding by, I didn't consign them to hell. I didn't hate them for doing so. I didn't desire some kind of revenge on them for doing so. I recognize that they're responsible to you for their speeding. I certainly didn't speed up to teach them a lesson. I knew enough not to do that. But I sought to stay focused on you, the rule giver, rather than on them, the rule breaker. And there were people going slower than 35, and it was a bit irritating. It was really tempting just to get right up on the bumper and let them know that I was unhappy, that they were not keeping the rule, which kept me from being able to keep the rule. But I held off because I have a pretty good idea that you know my heart, that you know that if I could, I'd go 35, but for the sake of others and what is best for them, I was kept back just a little bit. And I don't think, God, that you'll judge me as a rule breaker for that, but rather you will say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you're understanding the purpose. Not that you're out on the road breaking my rule for your sake, but rather because of the reality of the world in which we live in, there are so many people who will not keep my rule, and I want you to live with them. I want you to love them. I want you to care for them because I love them and I care for them. And I want them to live as well and as safely as I do you. I sent my Son into the world that the world may be saved. I didn't send Jesus into the world to be the person to tell everybody that all God desires for them to be a rule keeper. And I don't want you to do that either. That's not the light I have called you to shine. Of course, know the rules. Of course, follow the rules and teach others to do the same, but in a way that accomplishes the purpose of the rule. Understand who I am. And I'm not a God of blind obedience. I am not a God of legalistic religion. I never have been. And my Son, Jesus, is in the world to teach what that means and what that looks like. Your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Living the Christian life is not just about doing the right thing according to the rule. It is about living obediently to the God who says through His Son all the laws and the prophets, that is, all the rules, can be summarized by two. And what are those two? What are the two that summarize all the rules, all the laws, all the commandments, all the tenets, all the precepts, all the different words that we use essentially to mean the rules of God? There's just two, Jesus says. Love, you know them, I'll get you started. Love who? The Lord your God. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two. The words of Jesus. So how do we, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, seeking to be true children of God, living in the kingdom as Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, how do we do that? We need to learn how to love God. And yes, we do love Him when we seek to follow His rule. When we get in the car and get on His road, and if He says 35, we're going to go 35 because that's what He asks. That's right. That's appropriate. He's wise. That's safe for that road. But He says, love your neighbor. You don't get to drive that road without paying attention to your fellow drivers. What are they doing? What do they need? How are they going to experience the love of God through you? Because they don't see the speed limit sign and see, oh, a loving God has said 35. They see it and they grumble. They see it and they want to ignore it. They see it and they pay no attention. How are you going to treat them? How are you going to live with them? How are you going to drive down the road with them? Know the purposes. And in that way, your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You will do not only the right thing, you'll be doing the very best thing. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want, says God. When I was preparing to enter my freshman year in college, I had a good friend, very close friend, who was killed by a drunk driver. Now, I'd been brought up in a Christian home. As many of you know, my parents were full-time workers with the Christian organizations working in Europe the first 15 years of my life where I lived. By now, we were back in the States. But I'd been growing up as a pretty good Christian rule follower. I thought that was my job. Besides that, I'm the oldest of five children, so I'm kind of a typical type A personality. Keep the rules, including God's rules. And that's how I lived, and that's kind of what the Christian life meant to me. Do the best you can keeping the rules. And I had this idea. I was a pretty good 35-mile-an-hour driver. And because I was, I felt two important things about my Christian life. One, I didn't deserve to be pulled over and told that I wasn't doing a good job driving. And secondly, it would be really nice if every now and then I'd get rewarded for doing such a good job as a member of the 35-mile-an-hour club. That's what I felt the Christian life should really be. And now comes the death of this person. And all of a sudden, the Christian life doesn't make sense to me anymore. I've been keeping the rules. I don't deserve the pain and the hurt that I'm going through. My friend, who is also a good Christian, does not deserve what happened to her. Her family does not deserve it. God, what are you up to? We're all good rule followers. Don't we get some reward? This feels like a punishment. This feels like I've been falsely pulled over. And for a while, as I entered my freshman year in college, I really decided I wanted nothing to do with God. I stopped going to church. There was a Christian organization on campus that I'd already been in touch with. They came around, hey, come to our meetings, get to know us. No, I'm actually not interested anymore. And for a period of about half a year, about 6 months, I tried really, really hard to ignore God. Even tried playing with some of those rules I've been following just to see what it was like. You know, I'd always been curious. Here's my chance. Didn't get much out of that, but, you know, gave it a shot. And I slowly came to realize something that was true. I realized that I still cared about God. I realized I still was one of His children. I can't explain that. It wasn't anything logical. I certainly didn't intellectually formulate that. There was just something within me that was too strong. I couldn't get rid of it. That Christian truth was still there, but I came to realize, and especially through now, I opened up to conversations with fellow believers and people who are older and wiser than me in the faith, including my own parents. And they helped me to see something that I'm sure I'd been taught for a long time, but had kind of ignored, not paid attention to, that the Christian life is much more than just keeping rules. That God loves me not because I keep rules. He loves me because He loves me. He chooses to love me. And He says, because I love you and I want the very best for you and I want you to be safe and I want you to have well-being in your life, I want you to have your very best life, and part of you having your very best life is helping those around you to have their very best life. That's what I want for you, Steve. And the only purpose of my rules is because sometimes, indeed all the time, but there's sometimes you'll really get it, I really do know better than you. Father does know best. Heavenly Father, that is. And so if I put a rule out there, it's not to hinder you, it's not to slow you down, it's not to make life miserable for you. It's because it's for your good. And it is really for the good of all the other people. And you may kind of see that, they may not see it at all, but that doesn't change the rule, and that doesn't change its purpose. And I began to understand my Christian life differently. And I began to see the rules differently. And I began to focus not on what is the rule and how do I keep it, but understanding why is the rule there. And all of a sudden, reading the Bible, which I've been doing for a while, that was one of the rules, right? Read the Bible. Okay, yeah, well, did that. Check it off. Move on. It's now time to understand what's going on there. Why does God give that rule? Not just what is it? And as I started to really focus on that, in many ways, just as I was maturing and growing, I think I was much better able to do so as well at that point in my life. And I had people in my life, very different from where I had been to that point, that were able to step in and help me, that I could read the Bible with and have conversation and ask that question, why does God ask us to do that? Why does He say not to do that? And the more I understood the purpose, I found something really interesting. The more I understand the purpose, especially the more I saw the right purpose, the easier it was to keep the rule. I mean, there are some rules that have been really hard to follow, some rules I really wanted to ditch along the way, because everybody else who seemed to be ignoring the rules seemed to be having a grand old time. I was beginning to understand why God said, don't do that. I know it looks like they're having fun, but do you realize, you know, and then kind of work on that. Now, I am still a rule follower. That's my personality, along with many other things. And I do believe as a Christian, I'm called to be a rule follower. I'm called, as Jesus says today, not to set aside one little iota, you know, that little Greek letter I, the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet. New Testament is written in Greek. Don't set aside the smallest letter of the law. I am called to keep it. But I'm called to keep it for a purpose. And Jesus Christ is the one to teach me that purpose in the Gospels, in what He says, in how He lives. Now, next week, we're going to move on. We've been moving rather slowly. It's what, we're 2.5 months into the Beatitudes. We're only up to verse 20 of the first chapter. We're now going to double our speed, at least this next week. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at verses 21 to 48. It's the rest of chapter 5. In these verses, Jesus takes what He has just been saying that we're talking about this morning, and He applies practically to daily life situations what He means by our righteousness must be greater than that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. That our righteousness must be more than simply being rule followers, but rather we need to understand the purpose. At least we need to be working on understanding the purpose. Doesn't mean that we will always perfectly know exactly what God is thinking. And we can never, because we don't know perfectly what He's thinking, just set aside the rule. But the rule is best kept when we best understand God's reason. So what Jesus is going to do is He's going to take six different areas of daily average person's life in verses 21 through 48, and He's going to apply what He's been saying in the first 20 verses. And so the six areas He's going to talk about are anger, adultery, divorce, vows, taking vows like an oath, I promise to do something, revenge, and love for enemies. Six areas. Now, next Sunday, I will have nowhere near enough time to cover all those verses. Just barely enough time to just kind of touch on them, on those six different categories. So what I'm asking you is that this week, especially if you're not in the habit of doing so, is to pay attention to the Bible reading plan and the daily devotions that are offered every single week. The Bible reading plan's in your pews. They're handed out in the bulletin when, you know, this is a 13-week Bible reading plan, but they're in the pews every week. And you will see, if you look here, on March 20th through 25th, that's the next 6 days, you will see those six passages from Matthew chapter 5. A passage each day. It works out nicely. 6 days this next week, one passage a day. And in your bulletin, as we do every week, you have the devotions. A couple of paragraphs that I write about each one of the passages that you will read that week. I really encourage you to do it this week, because if you come next Sunday thinking, oh good, Steve's finally going to explain what, you know, Jesus means by murder or by divorce or, you know, we're finally going to get, no you're not, because I won't have time. We can spend 2.5 months on each one of those six and probably just start scratching the surface. So it's a good week to be reading, to be thinking about this, to come prepared next week, so we really together can get a lot out of it. That's important. And so I want to encourage that if you've not been doing it, especially this week, because what Jesus is going to do, and then we're kind of going to switch gears, moving into chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, which won't happen until after Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. We take a 2-week break. Then we move on to some other topics. Still Sermon on the Mount, still applying what Jesus has been saying, but in a different kind of way. But these six areas in verses 21 through 48 really help to flesh out what Jesus has been saying in the first 20 verses, and especially in the four that we're looking at today. It will give practical, real life ways to understand what is God's purpose behind the rule. And so just to give you a brief, you know, each of these six little vignettes, Jesus says, you have heard it say, and then He quotes a rule, but I say to you, and then He gives the purpose behind the rule. He is not saying, ignore what you have heard. When He says, but, it is not, I am substituting something different. Remember what He says in 17 through 20. People look at that and go, oh, Jesus is throwing out the, you have heard it say. No, what did Jesus just say? He said, not a single little bit of God's law. I am not casting out God's law. You have heard it say. But I say to you, now I'm going to help you understand the purpose. And let's look at that. Let's talk about that. Let's think about that. What is God doing when he says, do not murder? What is God doing when he says, do not commit adultery? Important. Because that's where Christian life is lived. But this takes work. This is a lifelong deal. I've been working on this for a long time. It's been a long time since I was 18 years old. And there's still many things in the Bible that I'm not really clear on. There are times that I just have to say, I just need to obey the rule. I really can't figure out why God has that one. But I do know what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Keep the rule. And since, Steve, you're a teacher, that's part of what you do. Be really careful you're not teaching anybody else not to keep the rule, because you're held doubly responsible. God desires for us the very best life. He wants us to be blessed. Remember verses 3 through 10? God blesses those who? God blesses those who? God blesses those. Bless, bless, bless. That's what he's about. Not being rule keepers for our own sake, but being rule keepers for God's sake out of love for God and for the sake of our neighbor out of love for them. When we do so, we will be blessed. When we do so, then our light indeed will shine in the world. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the way Jesus in this sermon is moving us through these very fundamental but critical truths that are a part of the Christian life. We confess how easy it is for us to be kind of like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It's not they were bad people. In many ways, they were very, very good people and in the right way in which they kept the rules. But Jesus says, but don't you see how in keeping the rules for their own sake, you're ignoring the much deeper, the critical and important aspects of faith and love. That you're not paying attention to the people around you, other than just as people who will praise you and honor you and who you have the right to judge. God didn't put you in the world for that purpose. He didn't put you in the world just to have examples of good rule followers that other people could fawn over. He put each one of us in the world. He put me in the world, says Jesus, to show the love of God. And the best way to show that is by living according to his rules and understanding the purpose of those rules for our good and for the good of everyone around us. So may this be true of us this day and in the days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.